Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Ground Beneath Her Feet by Salman Rushdie, narrated by Stephen Crossley. This book is copyrighted 1999 by Salman Rushdie. This recording is copyrighted 1999 by Recorded Books. The author opens this novel with the following excerpt from Sonnets to Orpheus by Rainer Maria Rilke, translated from the German by M.D. Herter Norton. Set up no stone to his memory. Just let the rose bloom each year for his sake. For it is Orpheus, his metamorphosis into this and that. We should not trouble about other names. Once and for all, it's Orpheus when they're singing. And now, The Ground Beneath Her Feet.
Chapter 1. The Keeper of Bees. On St. Valentine's Day 1989, the last day of her life, the legendary popular singer Veena Apsara woke sobbing from a dream of human sacrifice in which she had been the intended victim. Bare-torsoed men resembling the actor Christopher Plummer had been gripping her by the wrists and ankles. Her body was splayed out, naked and writhing over a polished stone bearing the graven image of the snake bird Quetzalcoatl. The open mouth of the plumed serpent surrounded a dark hollow scooped out of the stone, and although her own mouth was stretched wide by her screams, the only noise she could hear was the popping of flash bulbs. But before they could slit her throat, before her lifeblood could bubble into that terrible cup, she awoke at noon in the city of Guadalajara, Mexico, in an unfamiliar bed with a half-dead stranger by her side. A naked mestizo male in his early 20s, identified in the interminable press coverage that followed the catastrophe as Raúl Páramo, the playboy heir of a well-known local construction baron, one of whose corporations owned the hotel. She had been perspiring heavily and the sodden bedsheet stank of the meaningless misery of the nocturnal encounter. Raúl Páramo was unconscious, white-lipped, and his body was galvanized every few moments by spasms which Veena recognized as being identical to her own dream writhings. After a few moments, he began to make frightful noises deep in his windpipe, as if someone were slitting his throat, as if his blood were flowing out through the scarlet smile of an invisible wound into a phantom goblet. Veena, panicking, leapt from the bed, snatched up her clothes, the leather pants and gold sequined bustier in which she had made her final exit the night before from the stage of the city's convention centre. Contemptuously, despairingly, she had surrendered herself to this nobody. This boy less than half her age, she had selected him more or less at random from the backstage throng. The lounge lizards, the slick flower-bearing suitors, the industrial magnates, the aristo trash, the drug underlords, the tequila princes, all with limousines and champagne and cocaine and maybe even diamonds to bestow upon the evening star. The man had begun to introduce himself, to preen and fawn, but she didn't want to know his name or the size of his bank balance. She had picked him like a flower, and now she wanted him between her teeth. She had ordered him like a take-home meal, and now she alarmed him by the ferocity of her appetites, because she began to feast upon him the moment the door of the limo was closed, before the chauffeur had time to raise the partition that gave the passengers their privacy. Afterwards, he, the chauffeur, spoke with reverence of her naked body. While the newspaper men plied him with tequila, he whispered about her swarming and predatory nudity as if it were a miracle. Who'd have thought she was way the wrong side of 40? I guess somebody upstairs wanted to keep her just the way she was. I would have done anything for such a woman, the chauffeur moaned. I would have driven at 200 kilometres per hour for her if it was speed she wanted. I would have crashed into a concrete wall for her if it had been her desire to die. Only when she lurched into the 11th floor corridor of the hotel, half-dressed and confused, stumbling over the unclaimed newspapers whose headlines about French nuclear tests in the Pacific and political unrest in the southern province of Chiapas smudged the bare soles of her feet with their shrieking ink, only then did she understand that the suite of rooms she had abandoned was her own. She had slammed the door and didn't have the key, and it was lucky